Hello, podcast friends, your host, Pedro Diaz, Peter Days, the cultural broker in the Latino experience. Guys, I want to touch back on one of the things I said on the definition of the tough guy episode. And I think I might have misquoted him, or the issue of mental health. The thing that I said was a tough guy isn't one that pulls the trigger on someone else or on himself. A tough guy is someone that gets up every day and works for the love of their family, even if they don't like the job. And which is kind of simple and it makes sense, but just mental health is such a complicated issue. Our brains is such a complex thing. I don't even matter. And I don't know if it's easier. It's tough. Life is tough, but the message is do it for the love of your family, and that's a tough guy. Someone who does something that is difficult and but does it for the love of his family. And the example was that this guy, the individual, gets up every day and goes to work and he particularly doesn't care for the job, but he does it because of the love of his family. And that was a message. And that's tough too, because a job that you don't like can drive you crazy. So these things are complex, guys. I'm just trying to spread a positive message, and I hope you take it with a grain of salt. And just this is just a self-improvement podcast. This is a self-improvement podcast, so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to be a better person and spread out, send some good vibes out there, and help someone if a message helps you. But you can misinterpret anything or twist it negatively or whatever, because it is complex. Nothing can be simple or fixed just by an easy quote or whatever, or a misquote. And sometimes it is that simple. And the point is that life is complex. And if you're going through a tough time, I understand. And you have to understand that our brain is complex. And I would just recommend to study on how to use your brain and how to calm your brain and how to feed your brain, because there's some good food for your brain, stay hydrated and stuff like that. And because mental health is such a complex matter, and obviously talk to your doctors. I'm no doctor, I'm just an interpreter and a dreamer. Yeah, I'm not gonna call myself an artist. But it's just a dreamer and a doer. I like doing creative things. I like creating stuff and being this podcast or drawing. I've been drawing or doing my blog, taking pictures and uploading them on culture. I just like creating stuff, and that's what I think. I just want to create a career later on, or just as a, really, yes, I would like to have a career as a creative person, and yes, so that's what I'm doing. And that brings me to the second part of this podcast. I'm going to read John F. Kennedy's inaugural speech, because like I said, I just like to create, and I'm kind of into, I'm getting into more of the arts field and the voiceover field and more in the entertainment and the arts. So I already use my voice for work as an interpreter, and now I want to use it as a voiceover, and I think that would be super cool. So this is my channel that I'm practicing and using it. So I'm using my channel to spread a good message and hopefully it helps someone, and also practice voiceover reading. And I got something special for you guys, and that'll be in the next section. So welcome back, guys. So this is the voiceover practice part of my podcast, and today we're gonna read the inaugural address of January 20th, 1961 with John F. Kennedy. Let's get to it. We observe today not a victory of a party, but a celebration of freedom, symbolizing an end as well as a beginning, signifying renewal as well as change. For I have sworn before you and Almighty God that same solemn oath our forebears prescribed nearly a century and three quarters ago. The world is very different now, for man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life. And yet, the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the right of a man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. We dare not forget today that we are the high heirs of the first revolution, of that first revolution. Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike, that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed, and to which we are committed today at home and around the world. Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty. This much we pledge, and more. To those old allies whose cultural and spiritual origins we share, we pledge the loyalty of faithful friends. United, there is a little we cannot do in a host of cooperative ventures. Divided, there is little we can do, for we dare not meet a powerful challenge at odds and split asunder. To those new states whom we welcome to the ranks of the free, we pledge our word that one from of colonial control should not have passed away merely to be replaced by a far more iron tyranny. We shall not always accept to find them supporting our view, but we should always hope to find them strongly supporting their own freedom. And to remember that, in the past, those who foolishly sought power by riding the back of the tiger ended up inside. To those people in the huts and villages of half the globe struggling to break the bonds of mass misery, we pledge our best efforts to help them help themselves for whatever period is required. Not because the communists may be doing it, not because we seek their votes, but because it is right. If a free society cannot help the many who are poor, it cannot save the few who are rich. To our sister republics south of our border, we offer a special pledge to convert our good words into good deeds in a new alliance for progress to assist free men and free governments in casting off the chains of poverty. But this peaceful revolution of hope cannot become the prey of hostile powers. Let all of our neighborhoods know that we should join with them to oppose aggression or subversion anywhere in the Americas. And let every other power know that this hemisphere intends to remain the master of its own house. To the World Assembly of Foreign States, the United Nations, our last best hope in an age where the instruments of the war have far outpaced the instruments of peace, we renew our pledge of support to prevent it from becoming merely a forum for invective. To strengthen its shield of the new and the weak, and to enlarge the area in which its writ may run. Finally, to those nations who would make themselves our adversary, we offer not a pledge, but a request that both sides begin anew the quest for peace. Before the dark powers of destruction unleashed by science engulf all humanity in planned or accidental self-destruction, we dare not to tempt them with weakness, for only when our arms are sufficient beyond doubt can we be certain beyond doubt that they will never be employed. But neither can two great and powerful groups of nations take comfort from our present course. Both sides overburdened by the cost of modern weapons, both rightly alarmed by the steady spread of the deadly atom, yet both racing to alter the uncertain balance of terror that stays the hand of mankind's final war. Let us begin anew, remembering on both sides the civility is not a sign of weakness, and sincerity is always a subject to proof. Let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate. Let both sides explore what problems unite us instead of belaboring those problems which divide us. Let both sides for the first time formulate serious and precise proposals for the inspection and control of arms, and bring the absolute power to destroy other nations under the absolute control of all nations. Let both sides seek to invoke the wonders of science instead of its terrors. Together, let us explore the stars, conquer the desert, eradicate disease, tap the ocean depths, and encourage the arts and commerce. Let both sides unite the heat in all corners of the earth, the command of Isaiah 2, undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free. And if a beachhead of cooperation may push back the jungle of suspicion, let both sides join in creating a new in devour, not a new balance of power, but a new world of law, where the strong are just and the weak secure and the peace preserved. All of this will not be finished in the first 100 days, nor it will be finished in the first 1,000 days, nor in the life of this administration, nor even perhaps in our lifetime on this planet. But let us begin. In your hands, my fellow citizens, more than mine, will rest the final success or failure of our course. Since this country was founded, each generation of Americans have been summoned to give testimony to its national loyalty. The graves of young Americans who answer the call to service surround the globe. Now, the trumpet summons us again, not as a call to bear arms, though arms we need, not as a call to battle, though embattled we are, but a call to bear the burden of a long twilight struggle year in and year out, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, a struggle against the common enemies of a man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself. Can we forge against these enemies a grand and global alliance, north, south, east, and west, that can assure a more fruitful life for all mankind? We'll join you in this historic effort. In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its 4 hour of maximum danger. I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it. I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And then glow from the fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man. Finally, whether you are a citizen of America or a citizen of the world, ask of us, hear the same high standards of strength and sacrifice which we ask of you. With a good conscience, our only sure reward. History, the final judge of our deeds. Let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking His blessing and His help, but knowing that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own. The end. And read that last sentence again. With a good conscience, our only sure reward. With history, the final judge of our deeds, let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking His blessing and His help, by knowing that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own. Taken from Robert Taurisi, In Our Own Words, Extraordinary Speeches of American Century. New York, Simon Schuster, 2000, page 222. That was John F. Kennedy's inaugural address, January 20th, 1961.